Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Faith on the Road to Success. I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. As we look at success, most of us are not geared for that because we have spent years and years in school preparing us to take a job, working for someone else, fulfilling someone else's dream. And yes, there are many benefits to doing that. Some people are perfectly happy doing that and have done that for decades. I found myself in that position, not realizing that there were other opportunities. Opportunities which could help myself and could help many other people. We don't look at it many times from that respect because we have not been prepared for doing that. On this program, we look at the opportunities. We look at the chances. We look at what makes it possible. And your goal may be different from the person next to you. But cooperative minds, minds working on the same problem, looking at the problem from a different perspective, combine to make a very, very powerful force, a force to be reckoned with, a force that cannot be stopped. We see it if we look back in our history, and we see it time and time and time again. Sometimes we think competition is bad, but competition is good, and I'll tell you why. Because it keeps us on our toes. It keeps us moving forward. It keeps us refining the idea that we have. Many times, progress disguises itself as something else. For example, we come out with new and improved. Sometimes new and improved just means a way of making a smaller amount more profitable. And there can be truth in that statement. Many times it comes down to a financial reality. And reality is something that we have to face every day. As I talk to you, or talk with you, I would prefer to talk with you. Now, let me do something that I keep forgetting to do because I get very excited as we start the program. I do like to hear from you. We have very few people that call in. Some of you are listening to me on your devices. And I do have another program on Sunday at 4 p.m. on a completely different subject. Not completely different because it shows the ability of people to fight for things other than the typical profit margin that we look at. Now, we start off when we talk about success. Most people only measure success in terms of money, and I think that's wrong. I think it's dead wrong because there are many things that we can do where the primary reason for doing them is not money. I have a difficulty with many of our politicians, many of our ministers, because I think many of them come in with the objective of getting as much money, as much of a financial position, as much power as they can get. And it's not always used for good or proper. When we have, for example, ministers, and their goal is to get a brand new high luxury car every year, I can't say that that is wrong. I can't say that that is right, because some of them can do that because they are providing service, but some of them are doing it only for personal reasons. You have to make that decision as to whether you're doing it for that reason or something else. I don't begrudge people for having luxuries. I think that it is important to have luxuries when you can afford them. And what I mean by afford them is when you stretch the budget to the point of breaking for a particular item that you cannot totally justify, then I don't think that's necessarily good. And we see this time and time again. People end up strapped at the limits of their credit because they want to keep up a particular appearance. I'm not saying don't do that, because it is part of what is driving you. I'm just staying behind the curve a reasonable amount. I'm not saying that you need a horse and wagon to get around, but sometimes there are times when making that particular investment may not be the best choice in the long run. Sure, you're driving a brand new luxury car. You're looking good. Everybody can see that you are successful. But in many cases, if that car were 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 years old, it wouldn't make a difference. But you can have, at that time, money in case your business struggles. And businesses are going to struggle from time to time. We see it in the businesses. I remember in years past, and we're going to have this problem again, where suddenly coffee is in short supply. Demand is great. The price jumps up. Is that a sustainable model? Maybe. Maybe not. But what we try to do as business people or people successful minded, I have to check myself on the use of the word business because it relates back to financial success. Now, as I said, I'd like to hear from you. You can call, and I can see you on my dashboard if anybody calls in. And that number is 646-668-8217. I'm giving it again now, and I will give it again during the program because that number can be used to reach any of the hosts on Blog Talk Radio and during their particular programs. 646-668-8217. We learn when we face problems. We learn a lot of strategic points. Sometimes we don't know them. Sometimes we feel that they're ingrained. But if you have to do a process time and time again, it's time to start writing it down. It's time to start examining it. And we are examining to find out, am I being the most effective that I can be? Am I in actuality being as smart about this as I can? You know, we have to order supplies from time to time, whether we're looking for profit or whether we're just looking to be successful at our endeavor. And sometimes these endeavors are broad. It may be encouraging younger people to pick up a path of success, to pick up a path of entrepreneurship. And we find that maybe there are times when we can get through to suppliers quicker than we can at other times. We need to make mental note, not just mental note, but notes of that, and try to weave them into our path, into what we're doing. We often look at habits as being bad. Oh, I have a bad habit. But do you realize that most successful people have good habits? Good habits. How are they developed? They're generally developed by trial and error. trial. And if you know that Monday morning it's going to be difficult to get your order in, can you come up with a system that is more productive by doing it on a different day, a different method? Maybe have someone else do it that you can depend on, a dependable way of getting it done. We look at our success in different ways. One of the biggest traps that many of us run into is in waiting until the last minute to do things. We do our taxes the last day that they can be done, which may not be the most beneficial. The most beneficial day may be at a time when business is slower. And if you've done business at a different time or for a period of time, sometimes you know when they are. Instead of waiting until that day, and when we, let me mention this, because this is a big hurdle to jump for many people. As we are most private citizens, we do our taxes on an annual basis. As you become successful, many times you have to do it on a quarterly basis. Again, why the hardship of doing it on the last day? We can operate, and this is why many people are on a fiscal year, F-I-S, fiscal. It's not physical. It's not P-H-Y-S-I-C-A-L. It's a fiscal year or a fiscal deadline. And that deadline can come prior to the actual event. I didn't understand this, and I went to work for a large corporation. And what I found out is they had a fiscal year that ran from September to September. And that allowed them time to do what was necessary without crowding out the business. We have to understand what is required of us. There are successful businesses that have folded because of matters like this. We need to look at and understand what we can do in our future. We say, well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. I ran across a particular project, and I'm behind on this. But on my other program, which comes on Sunday at 4 p.m., called Did You Know?, I have run across and are starting to develop ideas in advance. One of the ones that I've looked at, and I have not been able to find a lot of information about, is holidays. Holidays such as, how did they affect slaves, slave people? What did they do in order to celebrate these holidays? Well, I don't have to wait until December 24th to start doing this. I can start doing it now. There is little information available about it because of what I'm doing otherwise. But when I run across something here, I can put it in a place where I can find it and hopefully develop it. I have a series that I sometimes, I try to do it every year, try to refine it, where we talk about Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa comes up every year. And so I want to get across some of these principles. And I am elated that sometimes on XM Radio, some of the hosts are using these same principles. Now, people look at Kwanzaa as if it is an African holiday. It is not an African holiday. It is an American holiday, and it is based on traditions of principles, and it was started rather recently. But these principles, I think, are outstanding in that we talk about cooperation. We talk about different principles in our life that we should incorporate every day, every day. And how can we do it? We have many people that believe that they are living their best Christian life on Sunday, going to church on Sunday, hearing someone talk to them about parts of the Bible. It's a good thing. I've done it all of my life. And now, because of some health problems, I don't go in person, but I have people and events that I follow. In fact, I can attend my church without physically being there. And this is something that ministers have to be aware of. Not that it is a bad thing that people are able to attend, but I think we need to look at things that can happen otherwise. We get caught in tradition, and we have Bible study on Wednesday or some other day that you may find. But there are talents that are following you could utilize at other times, which can enhance the flock that you have. We have people that have access to teachers. We have students that are in dire need of tutoring. Can't we make that possible? We are funding our church buildings. Is it only for an hour on Sunday and maybe an hour on Wednesday? Aren't there other things that we can do there? Can't we bring these children in, get them off the streets, and have someone who loves and cares about them and is interested in their success, their ability to function as full citizens of these United States or whatever country you're living in? We need to always be on the lookout. Yeah, that song, that old-time religion, there are aspects that we can keep and there are aspects that we can improve upon. What we don't realize sometimes is we get in our car and we can drive thousands, 40, 80,000 miles on a set of tires. And in the old days, we couldn't do that. Tires didn't last that long. One of the reasons, surprisingly, is that they weren't making the roundest tire possible. You know, you look back at old tires and you see that they had worn spots and other parts had great rubber on it. If we could have made the tire rounder, and we've come a long way with compounds to improve the ability of tires. We even changed the type of tire that we were using. Americans were using bias ply tires. Europeans were using radial ply tires. We found out that the European tires were superior. There may be something else better. And the fact that you are not in that industry now doesn't mean that you can't be the one to drive that contribution. Because I'm telling you that people that are listening to the program are inspired. They are inspired by their abilities. Understand that we were created by a superior being. Most of us have a God. Are gods, however you may have it. I don't understand all of them. I have a religion that I follow and I believe in. But I also believe that the universe is a part of that, and that when I am able and encouraged to speak my truth to the universe, this is what I want to do. The universe talks back to me. We think that that is sometimes the most outlandish idea that we have ever heard. But I have seen it happen way too often to think that it is merely coincidence. I was in a group of people studying a particular topic at our public library, and many of us don't realize what the library can can function and bring to us. We think that we go there, we check out a book, and we leave. But as I start walking into my library, I see events that are coming up. All too often we bypass them, and there is something there that allows us to learn from. Let me give you an example of what I am speaking of. I have a source of courses that I sometimes take, and I buy them because they are relatively inexpensive compared to going to a college or university. Sometimes they're even free. But what I found is with my library card, which costs me nothing, that I can attend the same classes for free. So the question is, why do I want to pay for it when that's included in my library membership, which I get by being a resident of the area here? I'm taking one of them now. And I would have had to pay a small amount, but why should I when I can do this? I also check with the library and find out that there are often classes taught by people that know what they're talking about available at the library, oftentimes free. We need to be aware of the resources available to us, and we need to take advantage of them when we can. Sometimes that interferes with our bigger schedule. This is why we have the ability to always look at our schedules to prioritize. We sometimes think that I made a list in January of what I want to do. But have you gone back to that list, reordered that list? Sometimes we look at chunks of things that we want to do, and we pick out way too big of a chunk, and we can't chew it. We choke on it. We die on it. Sometimes we have to be reasonable and practical. When we chew our food, we're breaking it down into smaller pieces so that the body can assimilate it, digest it, get the maximum out of it. We don't eat an apple by taking the whole apple and forcing it down our throat. Our body can't handle it, but we can chew it, and we can get the most out of it. Yes, sometimes we throw very nutritious parts of it away. I look at one of the habits I developed as a kid. When I go to a restaurant and they have baked potatoes, I eat the whole thing. It's not going to kill me. I've eaten it. And there are certain vitamins, nutrients, minerals that are in that area of the skin, that's roughage. There's many things there, but we need to understand what we're doing. When we understand the task at hand, we can enhance what we're doing. We can enhance what we're doing. Now, I see I have a caller on. I'm going to open the microphone in just a few minutes. If you have something to say, comments, otherwise, this will be your chance to do it. We will come back to you again, and it's not necessary that you have anything to say, ask, question, or whatever. Many times what we have is people working on a problem together come up with a solution that many of us don't understand. For example, let's look at George Washington Carver. We often give him credit for making peanut butter. George Washington Carver did not invent peanut butter. And in the day that he did it, it's nothing like what we have now. Because look at what is added to it. You think it's just ground up peanuts. It's not. They put emulsifiers. They put flavor enhancers. They put other things in there. And I'm not going into what each of these does although I do have some knowledge of it. But what we understand, we oftentimes don't know. When we were at war, we were using aniline to make colored products for everything from our textiles to what have you. And in the process of doing that, we were caught in a war, and our major source of aniline was Germany. We were in a war with Germany. Do you think they're going to continue to do that? No. Who came up with ideas of using color to enhance and maintain the vibrancy of our life? George Washington Carver. He has more to do with that box of Crayola crayons that our kids and sometimes us use than he did with the peanut butter. By not knowing this, we don't sometimes expand our knowledge into the areas where we need to and understand what we are capable of doing. Now, at this point, I have a caller from area code 404. If you have any comments, suggestions, questions, or what have you, now would be the time. It's not mandatory that you do so, but if you do have, let's hear your comments. I don't know if you are muted or not. I don't hear anything at this point. But if you do, now is the time. This caller is from area code 404. I won't give the rest of the number. And like I said, it's not mandatory that you say anything, but if you do, this would be the time. You don't have to reveal yourself, make yourself known, a number or what have you, but this would be the time. If there are no comments at this time, I'll come back to this again. I'll close that microphone because I don't hear anything. And like I said, it's not mandatory that you do that, but it does help, hopefully, not only you, but all of our listening audience as well. Because I used to be in meetings, and I had ideas, and I said, I'm not going to bring this idea up because somebody might think that I'm stupid. Somebody might think I'm dumb to ask this question, only to find out somebody else bring it up to great praise. Sometimes that fear holds us back. Sometimes that fear holds us back. Now, I'm going to come back to that caller again. Maybe something will come up. Sometimes we have difficulties muting and unmuting our phone. On my cell phone, I have an icon with a microphone, and there's a line that goes through it. When it is lit, I am muted. And I can talk, but nobody can hear me. On a regular phone, you can toggle between *6 on most of them and mute and unmute your phone. That is a courtesy that we sometimes extend others, and that way we don't hear all the sounds in the background. Many of us almost become immune to those sounds because the sound of a train going by is in some neighborhoods accepted. It's there. You know it's coming, and you learn to ignore it to a large extent. In other places, it is not. That would be a startling sound for someone else. Trucks going by, all manner of sound, kids, people doing the dishes and banging pots and pans and things of that nature. So that's just a courtesy that we extend to that time when you have something to say. But what we look at and what should be important to us is an understanding that the universe is listening to us. When we declare, I am going to make this product, I'm going to look at making this a better product. Sometimes we have no idea of the inner workings of that. Sometimes we find that adapting something else to do that job may be extremely efficient. Sometimes the first prototype or the first few prototypes that we come out are ugly as sin. When I look at these line trimmers, do you know what the first one looked like? A guy used a pot can that could rotate and had lines sticking out of it. Did it look good? No. Would most people pay much money for it? No. But as he developed it, it became more and more sophisticated. Sometimes we have to look, can do to improve a product. And this happens with the GoPro, for example. It did not come out looking like what it does. Yeah, people still use them. And the guy financed the operation by selling seashells out of his van. We sometimes have to be strategic in what we do and how we do it. I look at people, and I study people a lot. People at fast food places, for example. And we sometimes think, oh, that person can't do any better. But we don't know what that person is intending to do. Do they want to make their life work selling hamburgers? Probably not. But they may be looking at opening a different restaurant, opening their own restaurant, looking at ways to improve it, looking at ways to do orders. There are many skills that can be developed there. Some of these people are going to be our nurses, our doctors, our teachers, responsible positions, but they are making a strategic advance into an area to use as a stepping stone. Now, how many of us do this? We're looking for somebody to finance our idea. Finance our idea that we don't even know what we are doing. Do we have a track record? There are people that did not have a track record but have become successful because they developed one. Now, we sometimes look at black leaders, for example, and I had this pointed out to me again today. I knew it, but this person had made a reasonable or a discovery. He was looking at W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington. Most people see them only as black leaders because of the color of their skin. Philosophically, they were as opposed to each other as humanly possible. But they were all geared to success on their own terms. Both of them had great ideas. They were different ideas. They actually could have supported each other. But we sometimes find, and this happens in our business, this happens in our everyday life as well. Sometimes we are 180 degrees opposed to someone else, and we end up like rams battering our heads against each other. Yeah, we got hard heads sometimes. And sometimes it's not always that way. Sometimes we cannot do two things at the same time if they are diametrically opposed. But we have to look at it. We have to look at our success. Success is a strategy. We have a tree in our yard that we want to cut down. We could run out and grab an axe. We could grab a chainsaw. We could do other things. But we are not successful if that tree falls on our house, unless that's what you were trying to do. Most of us don't want to do that. So we have to look at our problems strategically. What do we want? What do we want to avoid? How can I do this better? Sometimes even the time of day makes a difference, because we may have prevailing winds that blow from one direction to the other at certain times of the day, certain times of the year. And we have to look. We have to understand. We have to plan. And most of all, we need to take action. If there is a possibility that may fall on the house, you may choose to do it by making the cuts at a different time, because strong winds can sometimes oppose. You know, we make the notch in the tree hoping that it will fall this way. But if that is opposite of the wind and the wind is high enough, strong enough, it may be not worth it. But we need to understand, we need to get as many of the elements lined up in our favor as possible, as many as possible. This way we're playing the odds in our favor. We're playing the odds in our favor. We sometimes take these words of wisdom too far and use them not to our advantage. Not to our advantage. We don't want to do that. We look at it in many aspects as work, but we can make it fun. We can make it understandable by looking at it as a game. When we oftentimes have to go to governmental offices in order to establish a business, there are times that are better than others. You could go there and spend 2 or 3 hours in a line. Sometimes there is no line. If you keep track of this as a particular skill or knowledge that works in your favor, do so. If you find out that at 2:30 in the afternoon, we have virtually nobody there, and you can get in and get what you need done, why go at a different time when you have to stand in line for 2 or 3 hours? And if we had to stand in that line, is there something else that we can do? I, for example, as if I'm some great somebody, I'm not. But I understand that I have access to hundreds of books on my cell phone. I have cheap pair of earbuds. And while I'm just standing there, I can talk to people. Sometimes I find what I need by talking to people in line. But if not, I can listen to material that entertains me, enlightens me, or what have you. I may be sitting there with a smile on my face and people wondering why. And I'm listening to a comedian talk about a book or a particular book of great interest to me. It doesn't have to be about work. It could be allowing me that time to relax my brain, to come up with new and innovative ideas. And sometimes that happens. So when I find myself in a particular spot, I may get caught up in a traffic jam, can't go. Yeah, I have a radio, but I also have the ability to play my cell phone through the radio or even with my earbuds. Now, be careful, because in some locations, driving with earbuds, headsets, or whatever may be illegal. May be illegal. We need to understand these things. Sometimes you can get away with it forever and ever and ever, but then you might find an officer that really doesn't play that game, if you know what I mean. But as we look at it, let us always be prepared to make changes in our priorities. Make changes in our priorities. I do a lot of research into the life of black people, the life of other people as well, white, Native American, Hispanic, whatever, because I learn ideas, I learn new things, and that is a part of what I do. It may not be of a single whit of interest to you, but you may find something else. You may find discussion of a restaurant, and you're in the restaurant business. Maybe it's not even your type of cuisine, but you may find an idea there. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for ideas. You're looking for enhancements. You're looking for things to avoid. Use them. Use them to your advantage. And maybe where you find your interest lying. Take advantage of it. That is the name of the game, to be smarter. We work hard, but we can work smarter as well. And it comes down to some of these steps. I used to be a racehorse owner, and I had free access to the parks in my state. And you come down to a race, and it's a photo finish. I mean, they're so close that you can't tell the difference. Now, the winner is generally going to receive much more acclaim. But I have seen that horse that lost by a nose come up and beat the winner. Sometimes it doesn't happen. It depends on who learns the most from the experience. Who learns the most from the experience? This, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, could be to younger listeners, and I do encourage many of our younger listeners to listen to the program, because you can develop ideas on how to succeed in school. I find that those people who do what needs to be done before they do what they want to do are more successful, and they have an enjoyable life. When you go to school and you have an assignment, we often stress ourselves out by waiting till the last minute. Waiting till the last minute. We sometimes say, well, that's when I can focus. No, you could focus at other times, but you get it done. Then the next day, you're not in a knot because you have not done it. You may find that you did it wrong, but let's face it, the reason that we are in school, the reason that we are in this race, the reason that we are even human is because we can learn. And one of the greatest learning experiences comes from our mistakes. Yes, it comes from our mistakes. We learn to do better and better. You know, it's estimated that the number of times that Thomas Edison tried to make a light bulb was extremely high. Thomas Edison didn't even invent the light bulb. Most people give him credit for it. But there were people that came up with the concept well before he did. He may very well have learned of the concept from one of these failures of somebody else. But he came up with a practical application that worked for a long time. Now, those of you that are older may remember light bulbs didn't last forever. And you had to make plans for changing them because it burned out on you. So you had spare light bulbs in your house. Now we have more dependable. We have more light from less wattage, and all of that because someone had ideas, ideas that made things better. Sometimes we try to invent something, and maybe what we need to be doing is improving something else. Ideas. Ideas abound. I think they're all over us. We run into them every day of our lives. I remember one time, traffic lights used to be composed of a single bulb for each color. But now we have LEDs, and some of those can, and we still have access to the primary principles of what happens. That came from an idea of someone. You know, we'll probably get to a point where we have signals that go to them. I see every day, not every day, but I see it more frequently than I would like to. I have a background in law enforcement, but I've seen cars going down the road with no brake lights on, no running lights, for example. We have the ability to know when that bulb is out and which one is out, but we don't use that technology. Somebody can make it possible. Some lives could be saved by this ability. Sometimes we have a turn signal, and it starts blinking very rapidly. Usually that's an indicator of a light bulb being out. Which one? Oh, I don't want to get out of the car and look. Well, especially not at 70 miles an hour. But it at least alerts us. This trick is not necessarily known to all of the population. But it can be. It can be utilized. As we look in our lives, we're always looking for improvements. This is one of the reasons that I admire cave people so much, because they didn't have a base of knowledge, and yet they developed the base of knowledge. Science is organized knowledge. Organized knowledge is what it is. And we can go to certain areas. We can look at certain things. When in the old days, I used to have a headlight burned out, for example, we replace it. But it was not always the best because we had to aim headlights back in the day. Now we've come up with pretty much self-aiming devices built into the cars that make it much safer for everybody. I drive an older car. When a headlight burns out, I consider replacing both because I can get brighter lights by doing this. Yeah, it costs a few dollars, but I'm getting older and I need that light. It's a safety concern. We often, and as I drive, I look and try to estimate the age of a car by the color of the headlights. Color of the headlights. Now, this is a safety factor. I would find a way to improve all of our lights, but yeah. And then what would we do with the ones that we throw away? We throw away stuff that could be recycled. We're going to find this out one day. We may have discovered this now. But I look at Rachel Carson, for example. Rachel Carson was warning us about the exact events that are taking place now. And she did this in the 1950s, and she was not the first. She's one of the better known of those people, but she was not the first. We find that as we improve methods of technology, we took lead out of our fuel. we were running leaded gas, and we were finding that we were polluting every corner of this world. Lead is one of the suspected reasons for the decline of the Roman Empire, because it affects the brain. We saw Freddie Gray and his encounter with the police. Freddie Gray had come across leaded paint as a kid. Why would a kid be interested in that? Because it tastes sweet. We sometimes kill our animals because of the sweet taste. Antifreeze has a sweet taste. And so we sometimes find our dogs and our cats will consume this. That is a lethal thing for them. As we understand more and more and more, we are finding out that some of the things we think are absolutely fantastic ain't. You might tell me there ain't such a word as ain't, but there is, and I just used it. But as we look at our life, we need to be realize that we are in constant motion to identify problems, identify solutions. Identify problems and solutions. It's one thing to identify a problem. It's another thing to come up with a solution. Oftentimes, a solution is something that people laugh at because they don't understand like you do. Sometimes it takes that backbone, that stick-to-itness that you have to make it possible. Get our kids involved. Let them understand that they are capable of anything that comes into their mind. We saw only one example when we talked about Dr. Carver and his contribution. We don't give him credit for the Crayola crayon. We don't give him credit for that we use. And at one time, the print that we were using was lead-based. Lead-based. So even burning a book was a hazardous thing because it released small amounts of lead. Lead is a neurotoxin. It poisons our system. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you have ideas. I see that the person that called did not call back in. I hope that they had questions or solutions or suggestions and will come back on and will contribute. I wish that you would do the same thing. We need to stump the host. I don't mean necessarily as a game, but as a learning tool. This is why I give you that number. That number is 646-668-8217. 646-668-8217. Now, Sunday at 4 p.m., I am going to talk about a reason not to study Black history, a reason not to study Black history. It's kind of surprising because I believe in studying Black history, but I think that I've stumbled up on one of the reasons why some people do not want us to study it. It might surprise you, but I think that success in any field requires a degree of courage, a degree of self-understanding, a degree of understanding that we were made by someone superior. And they didn't make us as a second run. They didn't make us as a joke. We are all endowed with great possibilities. Now, I want to end this show in time for Deacon Armstrong, who I believe follows us at 8 o'clock, to get his show on and up. We have less than 4 minutes at this time. But the program you're listening to is Faith on the Road to Success. I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. The program that I hope that you will tune in for on Sunday is Did You Know? And I'm the host. And that comes on at 4 o'clock Eastern Time, 1 o'clock Pacific Time, and whatever that translates out to in your part of the world. It takes a minute or two to set up a program, so hopefully I'll get off in time. Those of you that are so inclined may tune back in to hear Deacon Armstrong on his program at 8 p.m. But don't forget, we look forward to hearing from you, whether it's by phone or whether it's by other means of communication. We do enjoy talking with you, motivating you, inspiring you, and letting you know how great you are. This is John C. Abercrombie. Program is Faith on the Road to Success. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed.